Harold Reynolds, ESPN baseball analyst and one-time All-Star second baseman for the Seattle Mariners, said, "When I was growing up in Corvallis, Oregon, there was an NBA player named Gus Williams. Gus tied his shoes in back instead of in front like normal. I thought that was so cool. So I started tying my shoes in the back. I wanted to be like Gus. He wore number 10. I wore number 10. He wore one wristband. I wore one wristband. One day I was lying in bed, very sick with an upset stomach. I noticed it wasn't my sports hero, Gus Williams, who came to my room to take care of me. It was my mother. That's when I began to understand something about role models. I stopped looking at athletic accomplishments to determine who I wanted to pattern my life after. Instead, I tried to emulate people with strong character who were doing things of lasting value. Jesus is saying in this passage today, don't make the scribes and Pharisees your role models. Don't pattern your lives after them. But more than that, he is saying, beware of them. Beware of them like you would beware of a vicious dog. Beware of them like you would beware of a dangerous situation. Don't go into that backyard with that vicious dog or you will get bitten. Don't play with fire or you will get burned. That is the kind of warning that Jesus is giving us here. Jesus is saying this about the teachers of the law. Teachers of the law would be equivalent to modern day preachers. So Jesus is giving us a warning about preachers. What kind of preachers should we beware of? First of all, we should beware of the ones who don't have integrity. Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3 says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." What Jesus is describing here in verse 3 is a lack of integrity. Integrity means looking on the outside like you are on the inside. Integrity means that our conduct is consistent with our profession of faith. Integrity means being the same in public as you are in secret. Integrity is really a synonym for honesty. I take it from what Jesus is saying here that preaching and practice are supposed to be consistent with each other. What is practiced is supposed to match what is preached. I assume that Jesus is referring to preaching that is true to the Word of God, or else Jesus would not have said to the crowd, "Practice and observe whatever they tell you, but do not do what they do." No doubt they misinterpreted the law many times, but much of what they taught was true. Jesus meant that as long as they are preaching the truth, practice and observe what they preach, but do not follow their example, because there is an incongruity between what they teach and what they practice. Ernest Bud Miller, president and chief executive officer of Arvida, a real estate company, closed regional offices, reorganized departments, and cut his workforce of 2,600 in half. In the process, he turned a money-losing company into a profitable one. But despite the trimming, Miller believed one layer of fat remained. So he resigned. "I couldn't justify me to me," said Miller. "I couldn't look at the people I let go and say I applied a different standard to me. Every fiber of my person wanted to stay. But professionally, this was the decision that had to be made. The move eliminated one of the two senior jobs at the company. The chief operating officer of Arvida became the chief executive. Miller, 53, gave up an upper six-figure salary package. That story came from an article in the Wall Street Journal by Emery Thomas, Jr. The person who quoted the article said, "The greatest test of integrity is whether we will do what is right at our own expense. Will we apply the same standards to ourselves as we apply to others?" Jesus said, "The scribes and Pharisees do not practice what they preach." They did not apply the same standards to themselves as they did to everyone else. And this is something that we ourselves must guard against. We must guard against dishonesty and cultivate true integrity in religion. Jesus is calling us here not to follow the example of the religious hypocrites. He is warning us not to be taken advantage of by preachers who lack integrity. He is calling us to integrity. Secondly, we are to beware of preachers who do not have sympathy. Matthew 23:4 says, "They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." What does that mean? They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. Are they filling up 100-pound bags of grain over at the threshing floor and loading them on people's shoulders to carry them to the barn? No. He is not talking about carrying heavy bags of stuff. He's talking about their teaching. He's talking about all of the rules and regulations that the scribes and Pharisees load the people down with to observe and to keep. They demand of the people to keep hard rules and regulations and traditions and have no sympathy for them and even find loopholes to get themselves out of keeping those rules and regulations. How different is that from Jesus, who said in Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus invites us to be yoked with Him. He invites us to get in the yoke with Him. He is in it with us. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He is in that yoke with us. He helps us to carry that burden. That is sympathy. The scribes and Pharisees lacked sympathy. Another thing they lacked was humility. And the third thing that Jesus warned about was preachers who do not have humility. Beware of preachers who do not have humility. The rest of this passage, Matthew 23:5-12, is about humility and what humility looks like. First of all, humility is not ostentatious. Matthew 23:5 says, "Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long." I think we understand the part of that verse that says, "Everything they do is done for men to see." It means they do everything for show. What is that talk about phylacteries and tassels? Well, these are religious adornments. Phylacteries were small capsules or boxes that they would strap around their head or on their left arm. Inside that box, they would put verses of Scripture. Put Scripture verses in a box, strap it to your forehead, and people would see it. And they would say, "There goes a holy man because he has Scripture strapped in a box on his head." They would make the strap wider to make it more conspicuous so that people would be sure and see it. It was the same way with the tassels. Tassels were sewn onto the fringes of their garments to set them apart. And the longer they were, the more conspicuous they were. That is why they had them made longer. The wider phylacteries and the longer tassels meant more devotion to God. It was an ostentatious display of religion. Humility is not like that. Humility avoids the love of prestige. Matthew 23, verse 6 through 10 says, they love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. One commentator I read said that Jesus is teaching us here to eschew the love of prestigious titles. Eschew is not a word that I normally use, but it means to shun, to shy away from. Jesus is saying here that there are terms that we need to be careful about in our language. Jesus is reminding us here that we ought to be careful about the titles we use with the ministry. The titles we use can puff people up and promote this unhealthy air of false superiority. False celebrity. That is why I would rather just be Harold than Reverend. I never have really liked my name, but it's what I have been struck with, and that's what I'll be. I'll just be plain old Harold. I knew a preacher in Memphis one time who was working on his doctor's degree. The very next Sunday after he received that doctor's degree, he told his church, "Now you can start calling me doctor." That's not all. He put a sign on his mailbox that said, "Dr. Charles so-and-so." Now, I don't really have a problem with calling a man doctor who has earned such a degree, or even if it's an honorary degree. I think Jesus is getting after heart attitude here. We should not seek the honor and praise of men when we have been put in a position of spiritual authority. And we should be careful not to overly exalt men who are in those positions of spiritual authority. Thirdly, humility denies self-exaltation. Matthew 23, 11 and 12 says, "The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." William Carey was a great linguist. He was the father of the modern missionary movement. When he left England in 1793 and went out to India, he was so lowly and so unrecognized by his own people that when he arrived in India, which was at that time under the control of the British Empire, he was not even allowed to enter the country. But then finally, when he died in England, they came to recognize the greatness of William Carey, so that the flags throughout the whole nation were carried at half-mast. This man, who was a simple shoemaker who became so great in his homeland, was a man who became great because of his lowly service for Jesus Christ. He was in Britain one time and they were having a banquet at which he was the honored guest. And in the course of it, at the banquet table, one of the English officers who was present, not knowing that Mr. Carey would hear this remark, turned to someone and said, "Was not your great Mr. Carey a shoemaker?" And William Carey heard it, and he turned to the man and he said, "No, sir, I'm a cobbler," which was an even lower description than what a shoemaker was. And one of the reasons for this man's greatness was the fact that he was a man who did not have any show about him. In India, where William Carey served, there was a caste system. A converted Hindu from one of the lowest castes said, "I am by birth of an insignificant and contemptible caste, so low that if a Brahmin should chance to touch me, he must go and bathe in the Ganges River for the purpose of purification. And yet God has been pleased to call me not only to the knowledge of the gospel, but the high privilege of preaching it to others. Do you know," he said, "my friend, why God has chosen me? Well, I think the reason is this. If God has selected a learned Brahmin to preach the gospel, then when men are brought to the relationship with Jesus Christ, that means life, they would say, why, it's because of his great learning or because of the depth of his character and the righteousness of it that men are attracted to Christianity. But when they come to faith through the preaching of the gospel by me, they can only give the glory to God because they know that I have nothing of myself." May the Lord help us to beware of preachers who do not have integrity or sympathy or humility. May the Lord help us to remember what we really are. And may we seek to cultivate our Lord's admonition, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Let's pray and then stand for the final hymn.